This is a podcast from Seven Church, Bristol.
Good morning, guys. How are we?
All right.
Excellent. Gorgeous day. I was at a beach in Devon yesterday. Oh, it was lovely. Good for my soul. Please come in June. It's so much fun. I think this will be my third time going. You need to book. Do it now. Not now. At the end of the service. Cool. So I don't know if you know this. We are in the church calendar season of Eastertide. Eastertide is that gap. It's about 50 days between Easter and Pentecost Sunday. Easter we've celebrated, not just about the eggs. Jesus, kind of important. And then Pentecost is when the disciples are gathered in that upper room and the Holy Spirit pours out and weird things happen. They talk in tongues and languages and tongues of fire appear on their heads. And it's kind of like the birth of the church, the birth of Christianity in many ways. That's what it's celebrated as. But did you know that Jesus was out and about doing stuff for those 50 days? The Bible records that at one time he actually appeared to 500 people and taught them about the kingdom. Do you know, one of the things that kind of frustrates me a little bit about that is, where are the notes from that 50 days, right? Where are the notes? But what that makes me think is actually, that stuff isn't there. We've got to pay attention to what is there. We've got to pay attention to what is in the scripture, what is recorded. And so today, I want to take some time and look at the parable of the sower. The parable of the sower, if you're new to Christianity, if you're new to the journey, we will read it. But it actually appears in three of the four Gospels, right? You've got the Gospels are the stories of what Jesus did and what Jesus said on the earth. You've got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They're the four stories. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are what's known as the Synoptic Gospels. And synoptic means basically in synchronized. They're kind of parallel. They're very similar. They have a lot of the similar stories at a similar time. John is the younger brother. A little bit out there, a little bit different. Just if you've met my son, you'll understand the very different. I'm the younger brother too. Yeah, there we go. Thank you, darling. I thought you were out of the room. Anyway, we're going to look at the parable of the sower, moving swiftly on. Interestingly, about the parable of the sower, Jesus talks about many parables. He shares many parables. And a parable is basically a story with a meaning. He shares many parables on his earthly ministry, but only a few he explains. And I thought we would look at one of the ones he explains because it's a bit easier for me. So I'm going to read it. If you want to follow along, I'm going to read from Luke 8, from Luke. But like I say, you can have a look in Matthew 13 and Mark 4 as well, but not now, later on. So after this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and some of the women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had come out. Joanna, the wife of Cusa, the manager of Herod's household. That's important, isn't it? That's an important person. She was the wife of an important person. That kind of makes you an important woman. Susanna and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. It's very interesting that Jesus names these women, or the Luke, the author of this book, names these women. Why does he name these women? Well, he names these women because these are eyewitnesses, right? So if you want to check what I'm writing about is true, here are some people you can go and talk about. Don't take my word for it. Talk to these guys now. We don't have that. We can't do that right now, can we? But it's just interesting. Also, the other thing to note is women's weren't relied on as witnesses in that day and age. So again, the authors of the Gospels and Christianity is countercultural. Women are equally as important as men. And actually, if it wasn't for these women who were supporting Jesus' ministry, they were vital, right? The men were going off to do the teaching of the gospel. but the women were there working hard to support their husbands. So take note, ladies. So can you edit that bit out, Bern? Keep the stones to yourself. We'll move on. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told them this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on the rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, and it came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than what was sown. When he said this, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." The disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but others I speak to in parables, so that though seeing they may not see, though hearing they may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes the word away from their hearts, so they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures. They do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word and retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. And I want to dive into what Jesus was talking about and what Jesus meant. And I feel like the Holy Spirit really wants us to look at our hearts today and ask, how's our soil? Is your soil good? Is your soil ready to receive the seed? Is your soil producing fruit? One little side note. In that passage, the devil was spoken about quite a lot. Don't dismiss the devil. I think in the West, C.S. Lewis says we make two mistakes when we consider the devil. One, we underestimate the devil. Ugh, just superstitious nonsense. We've got science now. Or two, we overestimate the devil, right? Oh, must be the devil. Oh, I stubbed my toe again. Oh, that darn demon tripping me up, right? Both of those things either divert attention on nothing's the devil, or everything's the devil. It confuses us. And guys, we've got to recognize that Jesus talked about a personification of evil forces. So we can't ignore it. Bless you. Right. The other thing I just want to talk about is, have you noticed that Jesus does some really cool stuff and then every so often he does that weird uncle moment? Right? You're at a family gathering and everything's lovely, and then the weird uncle just starts spouting off some ridiculous nonsense that nobody really knows what he's talking about and just kind of ruins the moment. And he kind of does that. And we, you know, when we're at the family gathering, it's like, oh, let's just ignore that. Yes, uncle. We don't have one in our family, a weird uncle, which probably means it's me. But Jesus does this thing, right? Like, Jesus, what are you talking about? And Jesus says, though seeing, they may not see, and though they're hearing, they may not understand. Great point, Jesus. And in our perspective, in our worldview, quite often we just dust over that. So I just want to take a minute. What's he talking about here? What's awkward Jesus doing? Well, he's referring back to the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah is in the Old Testament. For those of you that aren't familiar, and the Old Testament is effectively the Jewish Bible. Isaiah was a prophet. And the book of Isaiah, this quote that Jesus is talking about, comes from Isaiah's commissioning. It's his calling. It's when God is calling Isaiah and saying, right, you're going to be a prophet to the nations. This is who you're going to be, and this is what you're going to deal with. The book of Isaiah has two parts. One part is Isaiah proclaiming to the people of Israel, your hearts are hardened. You are stubborn. You're not listening to the word of God. You're going your own way. And these are going to be the consequences of your actions, right? You're going to be captured. You're going to be oppressed. You're not going to see the fruits. You're not going to see the things you want to see. That's one half. And when we talk about, we've got to be careful when we talk about the consequences of our actions, right? Because we still have this misconception in our minds that Jesus is out to get you. And if you don't toe the line, Jesus, Mr. Booty is going to take a trip to Bottyland, right? You're going to get told off and God is going to strike you down. Well, actually, it's the natural consequences of our choices, right? If I go to KFC every day for a week and eat a big fat bucket of chicken, which sounds really good, the consequences aren't going to be good, right? It's the same thing. So that's one side of the book of Isaiah. What's the other side? The other side is redemption. There's hope, right? Oh, you stubborn people. Ah, but if you soften your hearts, if you follow me, there's hope, there's joy, there's redemption, there's fruit. I will lead you out of captivity. I will lead you into the promised land, right? So Jesus is saying, he who has ears, let them hear. Do you have ears? Have you got ears today? Is your heart soft? Are you hungry for the word of God? Are you wanting to follow or are you being stubborn? Because there's hope. If you're willing to listen, if you're willing to apply, there's hope. So that's what Jesus is talking about. We've got to remember that we can be held captive. You know, the Persians might not come and take us over this week, but we can be held captive by our habit patterns, by our mindsets, by our stubbornness, and by our hardness of hearts. We've got to remember that God desires that we produce fruit, fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 6. We want to be mature. So let's talk about these different paths, these different grounds that the seed falls upon. And I really liked what Juliet was singing earlier. There's abundance, right? Because when a farmer sows seed, you chuck loads out, don't you? If you're fixing your lawn, you don't just put a little bit of grass seed down. You chuck loads out because you want luscious grass, right? Summer's coming. We're looking forward to croquet. We're English. So we want a nice... I'm not going to talk about cricket. So you want a nice thick lawn. So you're generous, and God is generous. When he speaks, it is generous. It is in abundance. The question is, are we prepared to receive it? So the pathway, hard ground. What's a pathway? Well, it's the route of least resistance, isn't it? If we go hiking, you go through the woods, you don't want to go through the brambles. You look for the pathway where everyone else has gone before. It's the pathway of least resistance. So you go that way. What does that mean in our lives? Well, are we putting up with injustice? Because that's what everybody else does. Are you going along with popularism without sound doctrine or theology? What forms your worldview? Are you allowing media? We're speaking at a church. We've got to talk about the evils of social media. Are we talking about... are we allowing these things to form our mindsets? Are we climbing over others for promotion at work? Are we ignoring the poor, the widow, the orphan, the alien that Jesus constantly reminds us to remember? What about going to uni for those young enough to be thinking about going to uni? Are you going to uni because that's the pathway that everybody else does? He who has ears, let them hear. We've got to remember that when we follow mindlessly, it can lead to destruction, right? Matthew 7:14 says, wide is the pathway that leads to destruction, but narrow is the pathway that leads to life. Again, Jesus isn't looking out for those people on the pathway and trying to, the wide pathway, and say, I get to destroy you. No, it's the big fat bucket of KFC every day. The consequences of those choices lead to destruction. But what else could hardness mean? Well, what else hardens our hearts? So much hardens our hearts, guys. Lack of gratitude and grumbling. It allows our hearts to firm up. What about lies, telling lies, walking in deception? Taking and holding on to offense. How often does somebody offend you and you hold on to it? What about fear? Fear's good, right? Because fear stops me from walking out into the road because a bus might come and flatten me. So there's healthy fear and there's unhealthy fear. Well, unhealthy fear can grip us and can harden our hearts because it allows us to believe that we're not safe, that we can't trust that God has got the best in our best intentions in heart. along with holding on to offense, unforgiveness. Are you holding on to unforgiveness? Or are you releasing forgiveness to those that have hurt you, those that have wronged you? What about unrighteous anger? There are things that we should be angry about, right? But there are lots of things we shouldn't be angry about. How about bad language? Do we keep a guard of our tongue? Because out of our heart, the mouth speaks, right? Do we snap? Do we get angry at our kids or at our wives? What about brain rot? We talked about that already, haven't we? Social media. Ooh. Our hearts get harder. Even things I want to just mention about pornography. Because statistics will say, and I don't say this in any judgment, in any condemnation, I'm keeping my eyes shut so nobody thinks I'm looking at them at all. But statistics will say that there are people in this room that struggle with pornography. And I have seen a good friend of mine have his life completely destroyed by pornography addiction. And I hate it. But again, as Christians, how sensitive are we to the content that we consume? We've got to be careful because these things affect our hearts. God wants our hearts to be soft. And when we hold on to unforgiveness, when we hold on to offense, that leads to bitterness. And I have noticed it in my own heart that a crust starts to form over the softness of my heart. And of course, I'm not talking about my aortic pump, right? It's the core of who we are. It's our well-being. When our hearts are hard, it is difficult for us to hear God. It's not that God doesn't speak. He never stops speaking. He never stops speaking his affirmation. He never stops speaking his guidance. He never stops speaking his love. But it is our position and our orientation of our hearts that means whether or not we receive it. And Ezekiel 36:26 says, "I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh." I'll put my heart in you, is what he says. And I wonder if this is what he's talking about. You've got a hard heart. Come to me and we'll sort it out. I'll give you a new heart. See, even when our hearts are hard, God can still break through. I don't know, maybe prophetically that's happening today. Maybe you've got a hard heart and you're here today or watching online and God's using this as a way to break through. But hardness makes it difficult. So what's the antidote to having a hard heart? Well, it's recognition, it's recognizing the state of our hearts, and then it's repentance. And repentance is simply having a change of mind, right? It's I'm going in this direction, I'm going to change, actually I'm going to reorientate myself, I'm going to recalibrate my focus on where God is. So that's the pathway. One down. What about verse 13? He talks about the rocky heart. He says, "Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in a time of testing, they lose their pace. They fall away." Are you not seeing much fruit in your life? Or maybe you're too preoccupied or distracted. See, too many of us look to Jesus, but when we don't get the results that we want, that we expect, I'm like, guess I'll try something else. Buddhism looks cool, right? Or maybe, I don't know if you guys have done this, but man, growing up, I went to so many conferences, Christian conferences, and you're like, oh, this is amazing. Oh, Jesus, I'm going to do everything for you, and I commit every single day. I'm going to read the Bible, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to lead my family to the Lord, and all this stuff, right? We get het up, and that's part of the emotional high of conferences, and we can argue to and fro whether that's good or bad. That's not a topic for today. But anyway, stay on course, Kyle. We can have these things, and a couple of weeks later, it's like, or maybe the struggles of life come along and distract us, and it's just too hard, or we don't see the fruit quickly enough. We've got to remember that the way of Jesus is low and slow. It's rarely fast. So are you willing to wait? Are you willing to trust, even if it doesn't come? It's hard. It's not easy. Verse 14, the thorns. Oh, the thorns. The seed that fell among the thorns stand for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures. So are you overstressed? You worried about money, about health, about war? I mean, they're all real things, right? They're all real things that keep us awake at night at times. But do we focus too much on that? And maybe you're not worried about that, but maybe you're lying awake dreaming about having money, or dreaming about fame, or dreaming about having that person that will love you. And of course, everybody desires that, right? That's a natural thing of who we are. And I'm incredibly lucky, and I try not to figure out how I managed to get married so young, because I don't want to pull out that thread too much. But so it's real. It's real. These things are real that consume us, that capture our hearts. But do we allow them to dominate us? Because if we do, those weeds, they grow up around the things that we desire that actually are going to give us life and hope. And it chokes it out. Both of these focuses stop us maturing. Matthew 6, verse 25 to 34 says, don't worry. Don't worry, seek first his kingdom. That's the antidote. Easily said, right? Finally, the good soil, verse 15. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. Man, I suck at persevering. I think our culture sucks at persevering because we're on the pathway of least resistance. So when things get tough, oh, I just can't be bothered. I just need a day. And I love a day. I love a day. But it's people, those who have noble and good hearts. This takes practice. It takes training. It takes discipline. They hear the word. They recognize it, right? Recognizing takes discipline. It takes practice. You've got to know how God speaks. You've got to recognize his voice. Jesus said when he's talking about his disciples, he says, my sheep know my voice and they respond. We've got to know his voice. We've got to recognize it. We've got to hold on to it. When God speaks to us, do you just come to church and think, oh, that was great. I really liked what Owen said. But then by the time you've had lunch, it's gone. You've forgotten it. Or do you write these things down? Do you hold on to it? Do you reflect on it? Do you allow it to do you meditate on it? Do you marinate in that? And do you persevere? Don't give up, even when it's tough. Here's the thing, right? I grew up in a small village in Devon, and as every small village in Devon, every year you have the flower show. You have the village fete. Oh, yeah. One year, I thought, it's my year. It's my year. Biggest carrot. That's what we're going for. Biggest carrot. So I got a chimney flume, nice and tall and straight, filled it with good soil. Do you know what else I did? The field behind my house, full of sheep. I know what I need. I need me some sheep poo. So I get a bucket. I go over. I get a big, big old bucket of sheep poo. And I fill it up. And I grow an amazingly big carrot. I wasn't going to eat it because I knew what it had grown in. But it was big. I can't remember if I won. I just remember, really, I mean, I'm glorifying this, but really, I remember being told by my parents, go to that field and get a bucket full of poo. I'm like, really? Yes, do it. So that's what I had to do. Anyway, what's your point, Kyle? Get on with it. Poo makes brilliant fertilizer. And sometimes our life is full of poo. Right? Huh? Thank you. Thank you. That's what I was going for. He said profound, everybody. It's on tape. But seriously, right? If we can deal with manure well, it becomes great fertilizer and helps soil to be rich in nutrients and hold moisture. Too often, when the poo of life hits us, we're like, oh God has forsaken me. Well, how could you let this happen to me, Jesus? We've got to learn to respond well to manure, and we've got to learn how to hold it. So how to make good soil? Well, gratitude. We lift our eyes to the giver. We're not chasing after the thing. Thank you. Rosie has got us doing this this thing. Every Sunday, we have a gratitude jar at home. And after our Sunday meal, every one of us writes down one thing we're grateful for that week. And then at the end of the year, the hope is that we're going to read them and just reflect back on the year. And it's wonderful. Really like it. But daily gratitude, forgiving others, releasing that burden, not holding on to offense. Our society is far too easily offendable. We've got to learn to forgive. Healthy consumption, what you eat, what you drink, what you watch, what you think about. What are you consuming? It affects you, right? You've got to look after your emotional and personal well-being. That is a spiritual discipline as much as the other stuff that I'm about to read. Then, of course, there's a traditional Christian stuff, right? Soaking in God's presence in worship. Gosh, wasn't worship lovely this morning? It was so good. Do you know you don't just have to do that on a Sunday morning? I know. Shocking. We can do that every day. Bible. How much Bible do you consume? Whether you read it or listen to it, I don't care. We should have a regular diet of the Bible because then we get to know how Jesus speaks. We get to recognize his voice. So many of Western Christians are biblically illiterate. We need to get better at that. Learning to pray. And I say learning to pray because it's a skill and it takes practice. Silence and solitude. Something we have to learn and try and persevere at. Listening to teaching, podcasts, videos. Burn has got an incredible library of teaching from Seven on our website and on other streaming platforms and those things. But you can listen to other stuff too. That's okay. There's loads. There's loads out there. But you walk with Jesus. And here's the thing, right? Because I grew up, I'm a very well-trained Protestant evangelical. So I know how to do the work. But really, the work is walking with Jesus. And then Holy Spirit does the rest. As we learn to walk in step, we learn to listen. We position ourselves and ensure that the orientation of our hearts is good. As we practice and persevere in these, our hearts soften. We hear, we receive, we recognize the Holy Spirit, and we follow. And then Psalm 23 kicks in. Goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord. And that fruit from Galatians 6, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Just start to appear. Doesn't that sound nice? Would you like to be more self-controlled? Would you like to be gentler? Would you like to have some more joy in your life? Would you like your heart not to be captured by fear all the time? Sounds really lovely, doesn't it? But it all starts with the position of our hearts. It all starts with the condition of our hearts. And really, that's what Jesus is interested in. How is your heart? Now, I'm aware of time. So I'm going to stop there. But Bern is going to put on some music. And I've got some pens and paper, if you would like one. I'm going to pass some out. And you can take a moment to consider, what is your pathway of least resistance? What are the thorns growing up around you? What are the rocks in your life? And then just simply write them down. And just simply say, hey, Jesus, can you help me with these things? And maybe you're carrying some unforgiveness and you need to deal with that. And that starts simply by saying, Jesus, this is really hard, but today I want to forgive that person. Or, hey, Jesus, today I need to forgive myself. And then tomorrow you have to say, hey, Jesus, this is really hard, but would you help me forgive myself or that person? Or, hey, maybe actually you need to forgive Jesus because you're holding on to a perceived offense. And that's fine because we've all been there, right? So Bern's going to put on some music. I'm going to pray. Claire's going to help me hand out some bits of paper and pens. And then you take your time. And if you want somebody to pray with you, there are professionals with lanyards. There are professionals without lanyards that can pray for you. Just grab somebody. Because we'd love to pray for you. We'd love to pray with you. And if you have children, if you can go and release them from captivity at some point. But if you need somebody else to do that, that's cool as well. Because it's really, really important that you do business with Jesus. So Holy Spirit, thank you for your kindness. Jesus, thank you that the rain of the Spirit softens that concrete that surrounds our hearts. And so, Lord, as we just wait in your presence this morning, would you speak? And if you want a piece of paper and pen, just look up at Rosie or Claire and something will appear pretty quickly.